In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On this joyful Pentecost day, we thank our God and celebrate our Lord for the great and timeless gift which he has bestowed upon us. When he has revealed to poor and sinful men his holy and precious word. For it is on this very day that the gospel is sent to be proclaimed to all nations. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. Now, this is no coincidence. I think God knows what he is doing. 50 days after the Passover sacrifice set them free from Egypt, Israel received the law from God on Mount Sinai. 50 days after they were set free, God instructs them on how to live as his holy people. Note the great difference between the law of Moses and the gospel of Christ. On Mount Sinai, God descended in fire with a great sound of a trumpet. The whole mountain shook and the people themselves trembled with fear. Anyone who touched that mountain would die. And so they pleaded with Moses not to have God speak to them, because the voice of the Almighty was too much for them to bear. Then the Sinaitic covenant was given. A two-sided covenant. If Israel remained faithful to God and walked in his ways, then they would be his people. And they would be blessed in the land of Canaan. They would prosper and God would guard their borders. Our arrogant curiosity thinks that if we were there, we would have acted differently, without fear and trembling. But it was a horrible display to behold, because it clearly reveals what the law does. The law brings despair, terror, dismay, and ultimately death. We wince at the preaching of this law of God. And the more we study those Ten Commandments, the more we realize how far short we fall. And then there are those golden calves, like Aaron, that we erect. When knowing full well what God desires for us, we seek to justify it in our minds, that we just don't have time for the study of God's Word and for prayer today, because today is a busy day. And so I assume if we don't even have 5 minutes to pray to God, then we don't have 5 minutes to watch TV, look at our phone, or even to read the news. You see how our priorities betray us. We are set free by Christ. Let us not use our freedom as a cover-up for evil, but rather let us carry out what God has instructed us to do. As we look at this world, we see authorities are regularly dishonored. Divorce is rampant. Coveting quickly becomes a way of life. The whole marketing campaign seems to be geared at our sinful flesh. Let it not be so among you. If we ever wonder how Aaron could have built a golden calf when he could see the thick cloud and the fire on top of that mountain, we need look no farther than our own hearts, which seek to justify our own sins. The law brings condemnation and death. And so 3,000 were slain because of that golden calf. No mercy, no second chances. The soul that sins shall die. But on this lovely Pentecost day, as devout Jews from all over the world were obligated to go to Jerusalem for the renewal of the covenant, the Holy Spirit is poured out. 50 days after the Passover sacrifice rose from the dead, 50 days after all nations were set free from sin, Satan, and death, a new word is given. A word that is proclaimed not simply to one Jewish nation, but a word that is proclaimed to every nation under heaven, Jews and Gentiles alike. But instead of fleeing away from God, as the Israelites at Mount Sinai did, instead the multitudes gather to where the Spirit is present. For this gospel message does not kill, and it does not scatter, but it brings comfort, life, joy, and unity. God the Holy Spirit came not to terrify man with the burden of more laws, more rules, more two-sided covenants, which none of us could ever keep. But he came to proclaim the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ. He came to comfort us with the work of Christ and to bring us into a one-sided covenant built on the atoning blood of Christ. Sinai's theophany revealed the power and justice of God. Pentecost's theophany reveals the grace and love of God. No trumpets or angels, no billowing smoke or thick cloud, but the sound of a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire, and the multiplication of languages. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, the crowd declares. Now understand, miracles are not for believers, but they are for unbelievers, the Apostle Paul writes. So to those who had not believed in Christ, and yet considered themselves devout, fearing men and women from all Judea, to them this marvelous manifestation is given, so that they might listen to the ones on whom the fire dances, and who speak in these unlearned human languages. For the Holy Spirit comes to work through the Word, so that he might create faith in every nation that is found under heaven, and all might confess Jesus Christ as God and Lord. No wind was felt, though, because the Holy Spirit doesn't come to move your hair, or to blow on your face, or to touch your skin, or to move your feelings. But he comes to touch the ear. And when the ear is touched through the word, then the body is changed and enlivened. The mighty works that he declares are none other than the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So these disciples, filled with the Spirit, speak in other languages about Christ's betrayal, the condemnation of Caiaphas, the injustice of Pilate, the flogging, the beatings, the mocking, the spitting, the three-hour darkness on Good Friday, the abandonment, and yet the declaration, "It is finished." They speak about the empty tomb, the vision of angels, the women running, and them seeing their Lord and Savior in that upper room, his hands and his feet and his side. Yet all of those events were known to the 50 people, were known throughout all Jerusalem 50 days prior. But what they also declare is his ascension. They preach baptism, for there is where this gracious God comes to forgive them, to make them alive, and to bestow a hope of eternal life. What the law could never guarantee, the blood of Christ has guaranteed. So it is not those who keep the law who are saved and justified, but it is those who believe who are saved. It is those who believe who are justified. No man is righteous, even by his own standard, much less by God's standard. And so Christ came to die not for the righteous, but he died for the unrighteous to bring us to God. At Sinai, hundreds of thousands of men shook with fear. At Pentecost, 11 men stood up with boldness and courage as if the mighty hosts of heaven stood behind them, which of course they did. The mockers accused them of being filled with new wine, which of course they were. For Christ has changed the water of the old covenant into the wine of the new covenant established in his blood for the forgiveness of sins. This new wine cannot be poured into old wineskins. That is, forgiveness cannot be given to those who want to earn their way to heaven. But it must be received only by faith. And so the Spirit makes us new wineskins through the preaching of his gospel. That is, he gives us faith to confess our own sinfulness and also to trust in Jesus Christ, that his death is enough for us. For us who are outsiders to Sinai. For us who dwell among the nations. So let us not be drunk with wine, St. Paul warns. But let us be filled with the Holy Spirit. As alcohol changes you and never for the better, so the Holy Spirit changes you, yet always for the better. So the apostles are not messengers of Sinai, but of Calvary. The letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the gospel gives life. As terrifying as Sinai was, it still had much glory. Moses' face shone with that glory. And yet, how much more glorious is the gospel of Jesus Christ? As he is lifted up to atone for the sins of the world, we see the marvelous works of God. We see things that others who read the same scriptures as we fail to see. A veil hangs over their faces. But for us, that veil has been removed. We have been pulled out of the nations and brought into the people of God to behold the mighty works of our God as he is lifted up for us. Though you are from these pagan nations, Christ was crucified for you. Though you were separated from God by race and ethnicity and not heirs of Sinai, nevertheless, God has made you sons of Abraham, daughters of Zion, and children of the Heavenly Father. He has done this through faith. For it is not the one who does the works of Sinai that are saved, but it is the one who believes that that God of Sinai became flesh and died that is saved. Sinai drives us away into our own fears and merits and heathen practices as we seek to earn our way back into God's grace. But Pentecost gathers us together with all nations under heaven as one holy Christian and apostolic church. For the word has gone out into all the world, the gospel to the ends of the earth. And as wine changes the mind of man, so also the Spirit has changed the mind of the church. So we have our mind set on things above, not on earthly things. For we are filled with boldness, courage, joy, and comfort. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.